found another outlet. She pitied the next person who met him on the wrong end of his lightsaber.
"I should go," he said. "The council must surely be finished deliberating by now."
"That's life in wartime," she said. "A whole lot of waiting around between bouts of being shot at."
"Don't forget to duck, Lorin."
They stood and faced each other.
"Don't you forget to keep looking for the white," she said,
putting her arms around him and giving him a quick squeeze.
"It's out there somewhere. You just have to find it."
He nodded. They left the cenotaph of the Innocents by separate paths. She didn't look back.
Chapter 47.
"Hello, Mother. Sorry I've been out of touch for so long. Work has kept me very busy, but I'll tell you all about that another time. Call me on Coruscant when you have the chance."
Ula closed the line and settled back to wait. He didn't think it would be long. After the loss of Darth Kratos, the failure of the Cinzia to amount to anything, and the erasure of the fleet's databanks, he was sure someone would want to hear his side of the story. What that would be, he had given a great deal of thought. His comlink bleeped, warning him the call was imminent. That was impressively fast. So fast, in fact, that it made him wonder. Ordinarily, someone on Panatha would note the message, then relay the coded request up the lines of command to Watcher 3, who would then issue orders that would filter back down the lines of command, resulting in that simple ping. Ordinarily, this process could take hours, occasionally tens of minutes, never seconds. Ula looked around his apartment. It seemed smaller than he remembered, and now had a hostile cast to it as well. He would conduct a sweep later that evening in the hope of finding the bug he was now sure was there. Whether he would destroy the bug or not remained an open question. The holo projector flickered. He stood in front of it and blanked his face. One of the first things he had learned about espionage was that an apparent lack of emotion enhanced both the credibility of one's reports and the illusion of authority. That, he suspected, was why he had never seen Watcher 3's face in more than shadowy outline. That outline appeared before him now, flickering and straining, as though coming from the other side of the universe. For all Ula knew, though, Watcher 3 was on Coruscant as well, perhaps just up the road. Anything was possible. He knew of at least two other intelligence operatives who lived on his block, seeking a similar balance between easy access to the Senate and a ready escape route.
"Reports," said Watcher 3.
Ula needed to go back as far as his arrival on Hutta in order to tell the story properly. He didn't lie once, but he told far less than the whole truth. As with all intelligence work, much was told by implication. He left Watcher 3 to deduce that his rapid advancement from envoy to commander of the joint fleet had less to do with his own abilities than the need for a puppet in both positions. He also let Watcher 3 decide that Darth Kratos was the person behind the second placement. Who better, after all, to place the blame on than someone who couldn't defend himself?
"The last report Stantors received that I saw before being transferred," Ula concluded, "suggested that Sabaddon's orbit had been disturbed, leading to its imminent destruction by the Black Hole. Some small amounts of rare metals have been scavenged by the Republic, but Imperial attacks have kept that to a minimum. No wreckage has been recovered from any of the